AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now we're looking back at some of the weekend sport and some of the more astonishing developments. We'll talk Formula One a little bit later in our segment here. But first, Colm Mullany from Off the Ball is here to talk about the Champions Cup and also the Premier League. And the news in the Premier League is all about Mo Salah.
Yeah, and we're expecting more news on that later today, Pat, because Liverpool's supposed to train this morning at 11:45, and then Arne Slot, their manager, due to speak to the media in Italy later today ahead of their Champions League game with Inter tomorrow night. But Mo Salah, it looks like, is going to be on the way out at Liverpool after those explosive comments after the draw with Leeds on Saturday night. It finished 3-3. Salah didn't play. Third game in a row that he's been left on the bench. And he said he's been thrown under the bus by the club.
He says he's no relationship with Slot.
It was astonishing, really, the comments that came from Mo Salah. I don't think there's any way back for him, to be honest with you, after those comments.
Is Arne Slot looking for a scapegoat?
I'm not so sure.
I mean, obviously Salah's getting old and getting on a bit.
He's
but
33
still.
On a new contract, $400,000 a week. Now, I don't think anyone can dispute the fact that Mo Salah's form this season hasn't been anywhere close to what we've seen from in recent years. So that
is he getting the service that he needs to score goals?
The whole team is struggling.
The criticism is that he's not running back to defend when he should be. But, I mean, he was the ultimate goal poacher.
Yeah, there was a suggestion that he had an agreement with Arne Slot that he didn't really need to defend if he could keep contributing goals at the other end. As you say, he's third on Liverpool's all-time goal-scoring list. Whenever and however Mo Salah leaves the club, I think he will go down in the years ahead as a club legend. But right now, the situation looks irretrievable from Mo Salah's point of view. There has been interest in the past from Saudi Arabia. That would look like the most likely destination. It's going to be terribly interesting to hear what Arne Slot has to say about it later on. But I don't see a situation where the club can't back the manager when a player goes at him like that.
So Aston Villa are conspiring to surprise us.
Yeah, they are. What a great win for them. Buendia's goal late on Saturday. A deserved win over Arsenal, the league leaders, within 3 points of them now. Are Aston Villa title contenders? Probably at this stage you could say that they are, but as the season goes on, maybe they will become a little bit more stretched. They deserve an enormous amount of credit because they had a really poor start to the season, Pat, but they've put together a great run. I think it's 8 wins in 9 Premier League matches now for Unai Emery's team. It's going to be a real test of Arsenal's credentials now. A little bit of a wobble for them, whether they can sustain their form, but they have been the standout team. They've got a 2-point lead at the top, City in second, Aston Villa 3 points behind in third.
Okay, United are playing Wolves tonight, and it's amazing that if they win and get 3 points, they shoot up the table.
Yeah, they can.
So congested is it in the centre that they actually...
It absolutely is very congested at both ends of the table now. And Manchester United have shown some good form so far this season. That looks like a winnable one for them tonight against a Wolves team that looked destined for relegation. If United win, they'll be up to the brink of the top four. They'll move level on points with Chelsea on 25 points in fifth. I think United probably will finish in the top 7 or 8 positions at the very least. And as you say, if any team, even Liverpool, as bad and all as they've been in recent weeks, can string together a couple of decent results, you can shoot up the table.
Now let's talk rugby and the Champions Cup. And we had a victory, stuttering, but at the end on the scoreline, a good victory for Leinster. Munster, on the other hand,
very poor result for Munster, beaten by Bath, hammered in fact by 40 points to 14. So worrying signs for them, though their head coach Clayton McMillan not overly concerned, judging by his comments in the aftermath after that defeat in the Champions Cup. As I say, Leinster 45 points to 28 winners over Harlequins. Still work to do for Leinster. It hasn't been a great season for them so far, has it? But a mixed weekend in all for the Irish provinces. Ulster in the Challenge Cup, 61 points to 7 winners over Racing. Ulster, I think, will fancy their chances of going all the way there.
A sucker punch.
They let it slip yesterday, didn't they, against Ospreys. They were in total control in the first half at Bridge End, but they lost by 24 points to 21, having led by 21 points to nil midway through the first half.
Anyway, let's move on to some GAA finals over the weekend.
Yes, the Munster Club football final, Pat, taking the headlines yesterday. Really dramatic finish at Semple Stadium in Thurles, where Conor Ganey kicked a late 2.3 to deliver a first ever Munster Club football title for Dangan Ó Cuaigh of Kerry. They beat St Finbarr's of Cork by 118 to 20 points. Controversial enough finish, where St Finbarr's were in possession. They overcarried the ball, and it was adjudged by the referee that the Finbarr's player didn't hand the ball back, as you have to in the new rules. The free was brought forward up to the edge of the 2-point arc, and Conor Ganey kicked it over to deliver the title for Dangan Ó Cuaigh. And they'll face Ballyboden St Enda's of Dublin in the Leinster and All-Ireland semi-finals after Christmas.
Cathal Mullany from Off the Ball, thank you very much. But now we turn to Formula One.
You did it! Thank you. Awesome!
Thank you, guys. Oh my God. You made a kid's dream true. Thank you so much. I love you guys. Thanks for everything. You deserve it. I love you, Mum. I love you, Dad. Thanks for everything. I'm not crying.
And that's the immediate reaction from Formula One's newest world champion, Lando Norris, there. So with the 2025 Formula One season behind us, what were the defining stories and moments for motorsport fans? What does the future for next season hold? Well, joining me now to look back is Newstalk's Rory Galvin. Rory, good morning.
Morning, Pat. Yeah, I mean, what a interesting season this has been. I know there have been some ups and downs and boring moments, but, you know, one moment you could be falling asleep watching a McLaren pull away from the pack. The next, you're literally on the edge of your seat watching F1 history being made. I think we have to start with the journey Max Verstappen has been on.
Max Verstappen wins the Japanese Grand Prix. McLaren have to settle for second and third. Verstappen crosses the line, wins the US Grand Prix. He's come to Monza. He has smashed the track record in qualifying with the fastest lap in F1 history. And he's gone on to win the Italian Grand Prix. He's done everything he can tonight to try and keep his grasp on that world trophy. It's going to slip away, but this is win number three in three Grand Prix for Max Verstappen. It's win number five in Abu Dhabi. He wins the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. Max Verstappen on top in the race tonight.
On top in the race tonight, but not on top of the championship.
It
was an extraordinary comeback, but more to do with McLaren's misfortunes, I think, than and the Red Bull car improving a little.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, look, for anyone to say that Max Verstappen was an underdog, if you said that a year ago, no one would believe you, and that he would become the kind of people's champion. That's what ended up happening. About halfway through the season, he was down over 100 points from the race leader. He completely wrote off his own chances. And the only reason it did happen was probably because of McLaren's
now
issues.
You put together a compilation of McLaren woes. Have a listen to what happened to them.
Is this an engine problem for Lando Norris? And that's a lot more smoke than you would normally want to see.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if I'm on fire or not. It doesn't smell good. Smoke in the cockpit.
Okay, maybe we check it.
Oh, Lando Norris is out of the race.
We go to turn one. No, he's ripped off the front wing. The McLarens collide. Lando Norris into the wall and out of the race. Chasing fourth place. The McLarens collide and Norris is out.
Mate, Norris has the inside line, takes that second place, goes wide. Piastri tangled and spins Norris round and makes contact with Nico Hülkenberg. And there's a tyre rolling down the hill there that has come off one of the cars as Verstappen goes clear.
Both McLarens are out of this Grand Prix.
When you listen to that, you say, how in God's name did he ever end up winning the championship? But
yeah, it's funny. It's just because they were obviously the best team this year, but they just made so many kind of mistakes, own goals, a lot of bad luck as well on their end. Piastri was leading at first. Norris then kind of had that consistency. Piastri fell off. Norris came in. So you have to give him credit. But as a championship-winning team, you don't really want to see these mistakes being made. You're thinking about the Las Vegas double disqualification for the plank wear. Recently is Qatar, the complete error in strategy as well. So it became a three-horse race when it really should have been won weeks ago.
Now, talk to me about Ferrari and Lewis Hamilton. I mean, this was a much-heralded move. He wanted to go there to drive for the legendary Ferrari team. Yeah. What went wrong?
Well, I mean, I have a clip here of Hamilton talking about it himself.
The flip between the dream of driving for this amazing team and then the nightmare of results that we've had, the ups and downs, it's challenging. it's been the worst season ever. And no matter how I try, how much I try, it just keeps going worse. So, yeah.
Can I ask what you're trying?
I'm trying everything.
So in the car, out of
everything,
the car.
In and out of the car.
In and out of the car. In other words, try to get the car going, but also there must be an unhappiness with his team.
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, we have to say that Ferrari last season finished on second. Now they're going to finish fourth, starting further down the garage next year. You have to blame the car, but only to a certain point, because he has a teammate, Charles Leclerc, who is in the same car and has done comparatively much better while still struggling. This is the first time in Hamilton's career that he hasn't driven a Mercedes engine, which is, I think, worth pointing out, because it was a very different car for him. But rather than adjusting throughout the season, he ended up kind of getting worse. And he had the longest streaks of Q1 qualifications since, you know, well earlier in his career. So I could see, if things don't improve for him next year, he could possibly retire, because after Ferrari, I don't think he really would want to go anywhere else or settle for less.
Now, he will be continuing for at least another year with Ferrari, it would appear, although some of the young drivers obviously would be eyeing that seat, no question about it. Christian Horner, the legendary Red Bull Supremo, is he coming back to Formula One or not?
For now, we don't know. I have to say, you know, he was fired from Red Bull. We're not actually sure of the reason why. It wasn't that texting scandal, which I have to say was cleared after an internal investigation, just to cover myself. But there are some theories of why he was fired. We don't have to get into it, but I think he was. There was a rumor that he was going to Aston Martin, which ended up not being true, and his former co-worker, Adrian Newey, is now taking that slot. I could see him going to Alpine, only because geographically, Alpine, Red Bull, and Aston are actually all quite close to each other in geographically in the United Kingdom. So I could see him taking over for Flavio Briatore. Flavio is, you know, obviously a legendary team principal in his own right, came in to cover for a team principal who left. So I don't see him staying in that forever. So I could see Christian going in.
Okay, the grid is going to look a bit different next year.
It is. There's an 11th team joining in F1 next year. This is why I think it's actually really exciting. There's a lot to look forward to next year. Cadillac is the new American outfit, the first team since 2016 with Haas to join. So that will make it 22 drivers on the grid. They're taking in Valtteri Bottas and Sergio Perez, who I think it's a safe choice. They're kind of veteran drivers. They've had years of experience, race-winning experience. I think don't expect much from them, only because they're a brand new outfit. And they will be using a Ferrari engine. Hasn't been great so far, but I think it's to lay a foundation.
Okay, and Sauber becomes Audi.
Sauber becomes Audi. I mean, there's not much change in there except the name. They're basically the same team. They're going to have a shiny new coat or something, and they might be a little more suitable to support rather than some funny gambling.
Any changes in the rules we should look out for next year?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things are changing. There's brand new regulations. So we have things like DRS is going away, the drag reduction system. It's being replaced by something called MOM, which is manual override mode. So it's kind of like a battery boost, similar to something you'd see in Formula E. The cars are going to be slightly smaller and slightly lighter. It remains to be seen whether or not that actually leads to better racing.
All right, Rory, thank you very much. Something to look forward to. I mean, a lot of the season was a bit dull this year, but it got exciting in the end. But you're in mourning now for Max Verstappen.
Yeah, unfortunately, it was only 2 points he missed out by. So,
and he's your man. He's your
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.